Romans chapter 5, page 1135, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Well, today we're not going to follow our usual practice of going through just one passage. We've got various verses we're going to look at as we consider this theme of remembrance. And we are aware that most churches up and down the country were celebrating remembrance last Sunday on the official Remembrance Sunday, but we were a week late for various reasons. But it actually ties in well with the events of the weekend. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we took the car across to France and Belgium for a mini break in half term. And we ended up visiting, I don't know if you've been there, but we ended up visiting the Tynecot Cemetery, which is at Passchendaele, or Passchendaele as you can call it, in Belgium. It's the largest Commonwealth cemetery in the world. You've got 12,000 graves of World War I soldiers. And the sheer scale of it is very moving. So just row after row after row of these white headstones. And when we first started looking around as a family, you know, one of us said, oh, look, this soldier was only 19 years old. And after a few minutes of walking around, it became apparent that, in fact, an awful lot of the soldiers were just 19 years old. And as, you know, you're going from grave to grave, and I had family with me and sons who ranged in age from 6 to 13, it's pretty sobering. Just thinking, imagine that, just a few years' time. In a few weeks, all over the world, one of the traditional Christmas Bible passages, which is read at carol services traditionally, it records that at the birth of Jesus, you had these angels who appeared to shepherds in the fields, and they declared this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And as you walk around a place like Passchendaele, or as you watch the reports of the terror attacks in Paris this past weekend, you can't help but think, well, the angels sure got that one wrong. Peace on earth, I mean, who were they kidding? 2,000 years have passed and things just seem to have gone from bad to worse. And yet the Bible insists that the Jesus who was born in first century Palestine, he did come to bring peace. And the Christian message is summed up as being, and I put the verse on your sheet from Acts 10:36, the Christian message is summed up as being good news of peace through Jesus Christ. In what possible sense could that be true? If bringing peace, if that was Jesus' mission, surely Jesus has failed. What is this peace that Jesus came to bring? Well, firstly, as you'll see from the sheets there, it is peace with God. So the Bible says in the reading we just had from Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a peace which millions of people have come to enjoy since that first Christmas. Now, this idea that Jesus brings peace with God, it presupposes, doesn't it, that we are at war with God. And that shocking truth is what the Bible affirms. Don't know if you've seen the film Amadeus. about Mozart, but in that film Amadeus, you've got this guy who's the court composer called Salieri. And he actually turns on God, he turns against God in resentment because God bestowed genius on someone like Mozart. And in one scene, addressing a crucifix, Salieri, the court composer, says to God, he says, "From now on, we are enemies, you and I, because you choose for your instrument a boastful, lustful, smutty, infantile boy. Because you are unjust, unfair, unkind, I will block you, I swear it. I will hinder and harm your creature on earth as far as I'm able." Pretty shocking words, but actually his opening statement, "From now on, you and I are enemies," that is actually true of all of us. Excuse me, it's true of all of us by nature with God. In that, in our different ways, whether it's with a fist of aggression or just the drift of indifference, we all reject God. And as far as he is concerned, we are enemies. Now, that is not a good conflict to be in, is it? So in a war with God, there's only ever going to be one winner, and it's not going to be us. And one day, God will come in just judgment, and he will overthrow all his enemies. But God has done an amazing thing. Because he loves us so much, he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. So bringing an end to this war with him for all those who will accept his offer of peace. So he has made peace with us at enormous cost to himself. So the Bible says in the reading we had it from Romans 5 in verse 10, "While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." So that was the price of peace, the death of his Son in our place. And the result is reconciliation and peace with God. No wonder God is described elsewhere in the Bible as being the God of peace. If anyone deserved the Nobel Peace Prize, it's him, it's God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is offered to all, and it is enjoyed by all who accept his terms of peace through Jesus Christ. So the Bible's very clear that there is no other way to get right with God, to have peace with God. We can't buy him off with good works or buy him off with religion. It is only through accepting his terms of peace through Jesus and his death on the cross for us. When somebody dies, people often say, don't they, rest in peace. And they engrave it on the person's headstone. But peace with God after you die is actually only enjoyed by those who make peace with God before they die. And so as we think about peace at this time of remembrance, the most important question for all of us is, do I have peace with God? Am I at peace with God? And it's not primarily, it's not in the first place a question about how I feel. It's a question about my relationship with God. So have I been reconciled to God by accepting the death of Jesus Christ in my place? Because if not, if I haven't done that, I'm still God's enemy. I'm in conflict with God. And it's a conflict which is only going to have one outcome when God returns to overthrow his enemies. So why not be reconciled to God even today? Now, this peace with God really is good news, because it is when we have peace with God that, secondly, we can enjoy the inner peace that we long for. Materially, we have everything, don't we? But so many people would testify that something still seems to be missing. Doesn't matter how much you've got materially, so many people are aware something still seems to be missing. Where is true inner peace to be found? Well, if you look on your sheet there, where it says peace within, a verse from Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When a person accepts God's terms of peace through Jesus and his death for us, God comes to live in them by his Holy Spirit. And he brings peace within. It's the experience the old American spiritual song is referring to when it says, I've got peace like a river in my soul. Now, that is not to say that if you've accepted Jesus, it's not to say that you don't get stressed anymore. Of course you do, but it's saying that God's peace, it means that the deep down sense of restlessness, the deep down sense of disconnect, which comes from being on the wrong side of God, that is gone. That now you know where you've come from, you know where you're going. You know who you are, you know why you're here on the planet. And this sort of inner peace is a very, very precious thing, which many people are searching for, and many people would give the world to enjoy. There's an online community which seeks to bring together people who agree with the following statement. I long to find inner peace and understanding. And this website they've set up is a place where these people can chat and they can help one another and they leave their comments online about inner peace. One person simply wrote, "It is the only true thing I long for." It is the only true thing I long for. So many people searching for peace within. And God is holding it out to us in Jesus Christ, in his Son. If you were here a few weeks ago on the barge, we had an adult baptism, a guy called Leslie, and he was sharing his story before he was baptized about how he had finally found the inner peace he'd been searching for so many years, in vain, through money and through possessions, and in the end, through drink and drug addiction. And he finally found it in Jesus Christ. Peace with God through Jesus, it brings the peace of God into our hearts and into our lives. And so if you're someone who is searching for inner peace, Jesus is the one who can give it to you. Peace with God through Jesus, it brings the peace of God into our hearts and our lives as we trust in him and obey him. Now, there is no other way to find true, lasting inner peace. There's no other way. I mean, people may claim that they found their own alternate path to inner peace, maybe through their personal beliefs, or yoga, or meditation, or self-improvement courses, or stress management, you know, and the list goes on and on. But none of these actually deal with the root issue, which is this broken relationship with God. Peace with God through Jesus brings the peace of God into our hearts. A while back, our phone at home went dead. Couldn't even get a dial tone, no calls in, no calls out. And we eventually discovered that there was a broken wire at the exchange in Poplar, the central exchange. And a technician went out and fixed it, and we were back in business. But until that wire was fixed at the exchange, there was nothing at all we could do from our end to get connected. So we could plug into that telephone socket at our end whatever device we wanted. Didn't make any difference. And in a sort of similar way, self-help programs, stress management, whatever it is, I mean, these things may promise peace, but it's pretty superficial because they're just, if you like, so many different devices being plugged in into a dead line. The wire actually needs fixing at the exchange. We need something done centrally, something outside of ourselves. And that is what God has done in Jesus when he died on the cross. And so it's when we ask God to reconnect us with him through Jesus and his death for us that we find the peace of heart and mind that we long for. But this good news of peace, it is not just about me being at peace with God and experiencing the peace of God, wonderful though that is. God's ambitions are actually much bigger than that. So God's plans really are for a world, indeed a whole universe, at peace. And that is the third type of peace on your sheet. Peace in the world. In the film Miss Congeniality, I don't know if you've seen that one, Sandra Bullock plays this FBI agent who goes undercover as a participant in the Miss United States beauty pageant. And the host of the beauty contest, he asks her the stock question that you get asked, apparently, at these beauty pageants. You know, what is the one most important thing our society needs. To which she replies, well, that would be harsher punishment for parole violators. And the crowd are all, you know, deadly quiet. And then she adds, and world peace! And everyone cheers ecstatically because that's the answer you're supposed to give at these things. And that's the dream, isn't it? That, you know, a world at peace. But any hopes of an end to war, they seem as distant as ever they were, particularly on a weekend like this. Plenty of people long, don't they, for world peace. But what is actually missing is the mechanism for bringing it about. Charter of the United Nations famously affirms that it was founded to, quote, to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind. But there have been more conflicts in our world since the founding of the UN than during any previous period in history. If you just express a desire for world peace, but you have no realistic process for bringing it about, you end up sounding like a Miss World contestant. How can the world ever be at peace? How can world peace ever be achieved? And the answer is not a process, but a person. So another favorite Bible reading at carol services on the sheet there is a passage from Isaiah chapter 9. And it's a prophecy about the coming of the Christ. It was written some 800 years before Jesus Christ was born. It says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And we might think, well, there's been no beginning of it. Never mind, no end to it. But the Bible's perspective is that Jesus is going to return as he promised. And when he does return, there will be a final judgment. And God's enemies and all evil will be finally overthrown. And God's eternal kingdom will be established everywhere. And the universe will finally be at peace forever. If you're stuck for something to do one day, you can go online and find a little game called The World Has Fallen Apart. And you're basically given a map of the world in which all the countries have been broken up into pieces and scattered. And you have to click and drag the scattered pieces and put them back in their right place. It took me about 2 minutes to complete, after which a message flashed up. Congratulations, you have mended the world. So you want to make yourself feel good, go and do that. So putting the real world back together is not quite so simple, but that is what God has promised that he will do one day through Jesus. But what about the present? What about now? What should we expect to see now? Jesus actually warned that wars would continue until the end of history. He warned that wars will continue until the end of this age. So he said on the sheet there from Matthew 24, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And so although it's good and it's important and right that we pray for and we work for peace, and it's right and important that we help those who are suffering from war and terror, we need to be realistic that war and conflict and terror will sadly be part of this age until Christ returns. In addition, Jesus warned that following him would actually bring division and conflict, even within families, even within marriages, as some accept the message and others reject it. So he said in Matthew 10, on the sheet, he said, don't think that I've come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. But where the good news of Jesus is received, it does bring peace, it does bring harmony between those who accept him. So those who are reconciled to God through Jesus, they are reconciled to each other as well, to one another. And in the first century churches, I mean, people were, they were brought together in peace who until that moment had despised each other, had hated one another, They had these two groups, the Jew and the Gentile, who were at loggerheads. And Paul wrote there in Ephesians 2, he said of Christ that he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, killing the hostility. And that is a wonderful blessing the gospel brings. And it's such an important blessing as well, because peaceful relationships between people, they give us a tiny, tiny glimpse of where everything is heading. That the local church, it should be a microcosm of the future peace that God will bring, a sort of miniature version of this future peace that will be worldwide. And that is why the New Testament commands us to do whatever we can to live at peace as God's people, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and to pursue what makes for peace. So yes, the angels, that first Christmas, they did get it right. The Christian message is good news of peace through Jesus Christ. But we need to understand what that means. It's peace with God, through Him, which brings the peace of God into our hearts and lives, and one day will bring peace to our world. But it's actually a peace that many people don't want. There was a philosopher called Francis Schaeffer who he wrote that what many people want instead is what he called personal peace. Personal peace. But he described it as this, that it's just to be left alone, not to be troubled by the troubles of other people, whether across the world or across the city, to live one's life with minimal possibilities of being personally disturbed. Personal peace, he said, means wanting to have my personal life pattern undisturbed in my lifetime. If we want that sort of selfish, being left alone peace, God will give it to us. He will leave us alone. He'll leave us to our own devices now and ultimately in eternity, with all the horror of that. But that is not what he wants. And the whole reason he sent Jesus into the world was to bring peace with him, through him, for everyone who'll accept his terms of peace. We're going to pause now for a moment of quiet to reflect on these verses and what we've heard. And then when the music starts, we'll stand and we'll sing a song of thankfulness to God for this peace that he's brought through his Son, Jesus Christ.